Hello, and welcome to Veterinary Vertex, a podcast of the AVMA Journals. I'm Lisa Fortier, editor-in-chief of the AVMA Journals, and I'm joined today by co-host and social media editor for our AVMA Journals, Dr. Sarah Wright.
We are bringing you a special episode with our guest, Jacqueline Chevalier. Jacqueline, we are so excited to speak with you today. Jacqueline obtained her Bachelor of Science from the University of Windsor and her Master of Science in Medical Biophysics from Western University. Jacqueline is an associate editor for JAVMA and AJVR and is a member of the class of 2023 at Cornell University College of Veterinary Medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk about her contributions as the inaugural author for our new JAVMA manuscript category, Did You Know? Jacqueline, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course, anytime. If it's okay with you, we're going to dive right in.
Yeah.
You're the very first Do You Know author for JAVMA. How did you decide on a fun fact to share with JAVMA readers?
Yeah, so one of kind of the fun things about being a student is, of course, that we're exposed to so much new information on any given day, and it can be about different species and different topics. And sometimes it's not necessarily the species that you're actually interested in. So I actually came up with my fun fact during my llama tutorial class, which I was taking as an elective. So essentially kind of during this class, this fun fact came out about their pregnancies being most commonly in the left uterine horn. And so, of course, I kind of thought about that and was like, that just seems crazy. So I looked into it a little bit more and did some reading. And I just remember driving home that night and I called my mom, who is a human physician, and was like, yeah, I like heard about this really crazy fact about llamas. And I was like, apparently it's all camelids. I was like, I don't know who would have thought that. And she was like, yeah, that's pretty different. So kind of the more I thought about it, and then of course, Dr. Fortier asked me if I had any kind of cool veterinary tidbits that I would be willing to share. And I was like, this is the perfect one. So so that's kind of how I came up with it.
Great. No, it's amazing what we learn in school and what we retain, honestly. So not only are you a veterinary student and researcher, but you're also an associate editor for JAVMA. What's it like being a student associate editor?
It's a really, really cool opportunity. I'm super grateful that I had this opportunity. So I guess at first, honestly, it was a little bit intimidating to kind of be part of a team with all of these really, really impressive researchers. And I kind of felt like I was maybe like a little bit outscoped in that way. But honestly, everybody's been so supportive. And anytime that I have questions about a manuscript or I'm not really sure what I should be doing, everybody has been incredibly helpful to me. And the learning has been unparalleled. I feel like my learning in terms of research work has been kind of rocket launched. And then in addition to that, I mean, essentially, I spend a good amount of time reading manuscripts anyhow, and this has really just kind of pushed me to broaden my reading a little bit. So rather than reading with the intention of how is this information going to fit into my research, I'm a little bit more reading with the intent of just gathering general knowledge. And then in addition to that, really thinking critically about the scientific process and scientific rigor involved in all of these different journals or in manuscripts. So it's been an extremely cool process for sure.
Well, we're grateful for you for joining us. You know, as you know, multiple veterinary students turned me down. We are all very, very busy. We just appreciate your positive energy and bringing us our first Did You Know?
Yeah.
Leading along with what Sarah was talking about, what else have you learned about your own scientific writing through being an associate editor?
Yeah, so I guess in two facets. The first thing is I've learned so much about the peer review process. There are aspects of it that I really thought that I had a good understanding of, but it's pretty different to be on the inside of that and understanding, you know, what makes a good reviewer and how to select a good reviewer and how to make those recommendations as the author when you're trying to pick reviewers that are going to improve your manuscript and also actually move it along to kind of avoid being hung up in that limbo of the review process. So I think that's kind of the first thing. And I've learned so much about that, especially in our like quarterly meetings. You know, hearing all the different opinions from all these different researchers is pretty cool. And then the next piece of it is also just, you know, having the opportunity to read somebody else's manuscript. You're completely unbiased, you know, you're just reading the manuscript and looking at the scientific rigor and the writing quality, and to come up with your own opinions, things that you think should be changed, things that you think need to be recommended to change, and just things that maybe you would have done differently, but is it like a personal stylistic kind of aspect of it. And then to actually get reviews back from people who are potentially more experienced than me in the field, and really look at their reviews and be like, oh, wow, I totally missed this one aspect that, you know, this one reviewer really honed in on. And so to really kind of be able to compare that, system of review is really, really helpful.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about the reviewers. I always, when people ask about what about the inside, I always really help tell them to be so very thoughtful in their cover letter. Like, point out what is unique about your manuscript. And when you recommend reviewers, don't pick the most famous person that, you know, that's been publishing for 30 years, because it's unlikely that person has the time or the breadth to review your paper. So that's really good advice. You're an incredibly successful veterinary student with all the research that you've been doing. I know you still ride, you groom. You're academically very gifted. And you're happy. I mean, look at your smile. And you really love learning. What couple life lessons would you give to a freshman Jacqueline Chevalier entering veterinary student to be able to manage and balance all these things and help take care of your own well-being?
That's a great question. I guess the first thing I would say is kind of figure out what you're passionate about and kind of follow that. And even if it feels like it's pulling you in different directions, just keep going with it, because it'll all fit in eventually. I kind of felt like I had two parallel lines of passion. I was really passionate about horses. You know, I worked in the equine industry for my whole life. And I felt like research was my other passion, but for the longest time, they felt like they were mutually exclusive. I felt like I couldn't, you know, bring the two together. And it wasn't really until I was at Cornell that I realized that those two things could happen together, that you could do research that involved horses and you can make a huge difference in not only horses' lives, but people's lives as well through the translational medicine aspect. So I guess that's the first thing, is it really, you know, just keep following what you're interested in and they will kind of find a way to meet. I guess maybe the second thing is to kind of pace yourself and not be intimidated by big opportunities. I definitely am still working on that one myself. you know, if you're given an opportunity, have some confidence that those that are kind of trying to push you in that direction, know that you have the ability to do that. And I have definitely found that when I first started in the associate editor position, I was pretty insecure about my knowledge, and I still have those moments, but there are people that are there to support you, and you just have to keep moving forward, and it'll be great. So
it's all a learning process. And that's the great thing about this field, is that we're always learning. I feel like we're never done, no matter where you're at in your career. So thanks for being so candid with us too. We appreciate that. So what advice would you share with veterinary students that you're hoping to submit a fun fact?
I would say spend some time looking through your class notes. Again, we're given such a huge volume of knowledge, and a lot of it is by experts in the field. Like, they have been studying that aspect of medicine for so long. And so every now and then there's something that's thrown out there in class that maybe is not absolutely instrumental to, you know, you're passing that class or you're passing boards, but for whatever reason, that little fact is going to motivate you to study that material. It's not always something that we're really interested in or passionate about, but you can take all of these little tidbits, and sometimes I call them, like in my family, we talk about them as dinner conversation. You know, when I was learning about exotic animals, sometimes I struggled with that. And I was like, well, if I can walk away with a couple fun facts that I can throw out there as, you know, dinner table conversation, maybe that's what I can gain from this. And that's okay. So we can't be experts on everything. But again, these little tidbits of knowledge sometimes make all the difference.
So you're currently in your fourth year of vet school. What's next?
That's a great question. I'm actually in the midst of applying for equine internships for after I graduate. So I'm looking to do a private practice general rotating equine internship for a year. And then hopefully after that, I'll be applying to surgical residencies. We'll see over the course of a year if my interests change, of course, over my clinical year as well. So that's kind of where I'm headed right now.
Yeah, thank you. It is really a fascinating field. And as you can see from my career, you don't always stick with just one thing. So it's really a blessing to be a veterinarian. Something just a little more personal. What is the one thing Jacqueline Chevalier is never without?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would, I guess, really like to answer something nice, like, you know, my water bottle or my dog or, but honestly, at this stage in life, realistically, it's probably my computer. There's not very often that I go someplace without bringing my computer. And a piece of that is, you know, fourth year is very busy. In addition to my research and other work, it's, I stay pretty busy, but I've kind of found that, you know, if you take those 5 or 10 minutes that you spend waiting somewhere to, you know, get a little bit of work done, even if it's a couple of vet prep questions, or, you know, if you have, you know, 10 minutes to read an abstract, take a couple notes, that kind of thing, overall, it actually saves you a fair bit of time. And it kind of has actually optimized my, I would call like work-life balance that, you know, when I'm in between things or doing things, rather than take the 10 minutes to sit and wait, if I can get something done in that 10 minutes overall, then maybe I have an hour at home more to do what I want to spend my time doing, which normally is riding or, you know, spending time at the barn. But yeah, so I would say for the most part, probably my computer. I don't go very many places without it.
Hey, I'm with you there. I usually have like 2 laptops with me at all times, so I can really, oh, but thank you so much. We really appreciate your time today and for joining us. You can read Jacqueline's Did You Know manuscript in JAVMA on our new journal's website. I'm Dr. Sarah Wright, joined by Dr. Lisa Fortier. We want to thank each of you for joining us on this episode of the Veterinary Vertex podcast. We love sharing cutting-edge veterinary research with you, and we want to hear from you. Be sure to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen to.
Until next time, take care and we'll see you soon.